Welcome to the Friday, October 14th, 2011 edition of the Science Internet Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and I am reporting today from Jacksonville, Florida. Let me start with a couple more details on yesterday's Apple news and exploit. The vulnerability has been confirmed. It is easily exploitable, and it is fixed with the patch to OS 10.7.2. That's the patch that was released yesterday. Please apply the patch if you haven't applied it yet. However, before you apply it, please uninstall PGP desktop. Even if you do not use it to encrypt your disk, if you use FileVault 2 to encrypt your disk, but you still have PGP desktop installed because you had it around from Snow Leopard, it will still install drivers that will conflict with this update. I ran into this problem, and the diary discussing the patch has some hints at the bottom about how to recover a system that no longer boots. Another issue appears to the systems that have Snow Leopard and Lion installed in a dual boot configuration. In part, this may be to blame to the recovery partition update. The recovery partition update is a separate update, and you do not have to apply it now to fix the Safari file execution problem and the other Safari problems that are fixed in 10.7.2. The update is really important, so please apply it as expeditiously as possible. And in other patches, we do have patches from VMware for ESXi and ESX. The patch covers all the open source and third-party components in VMware. There's really a very long list of, for example, kernel vulnerabilities that are being fixed with these patches. Definitely something you do probably want to apply the sooner the better. Some of these vulnerabilities are quite old, so there may already be exploits out there for these issues. And then we got some new Android malware today. Today's Android malware claims to be a Netflix application, but instead of actually playing Netflix movies, all it does is it takes your Netflix username and password and then sends them off to the creator of this application. Apparently, the application uses sort of all the nice Netflix artwork and such, so for a normal user, it's really hard to realize that this application is fake. And then a little bit more for OS X users. There is a new version of the Flashback Trojan out. Flashback B, it's being called. There are now even more versions than that for it. But one new thing that came out in Flashback B was that it now realizes when it's running under VMware. This is the Trojan that claims to be a Flash player update. And if you remember all of the hoopla about Flash no longer being included in Line, so essentially it offers, hey, here's Flash for you, install me. Instead, it's really just your standard Trojan. Now, up to now, it wasn't really easily possible until recently to run OS X in a virtual machine. If you did so, if you managed to bypass some of the controls, you actually violated the license for OS X. As a result, these Trojans didn't really bother to detect whether or not OS X was running inside a virtual machine of some security researcher. Well, now it is actually legally possible with OS X Lion and virtualization products like Parallels and Fusion do support it. In the write-up I've seen, they only mention as VMware being detected. However, it's very likely that Parallels and such is detected as well. And then, of course, we also have a critical control today because it's still Cybersecurity Awareness Month. We are now up to control number 9. This one is a real tough one, I find. It's controlled access based on the need to know. Now, that's a very basic principle and something that definitely you should kind of consider implementing. However, the part I always find really hard is the correct labeling of all of your data, where essentially all of your data is assigned some kind of label. It identifies its confidentiality level. You can do that reasonably well if you start out simple with just a couple of different levels. And Of course, most operating systems do provide some kind of basic categories like that. Then, of course, you also need to assign roles to your users, and based on these roles, you provide access to these files. Now, the part I always had the most problem with there is that you really don't want to interfere with people's ability to do their job. And if you're too fine-grained, then just the management of all these access control lists easily gets out of hand. Like with all of these controls, if you found any nice way or so to implement them or implementing the ideas behind it, please let us know, write a quick comment to the respective diary, or just send it in as a feedback comment. Well, that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.